case, we've got almost everyone here, so I think we can start. Reminder to everyone to please silence your cell phones. And with that, we can call to order the January 8th Design Review Board meeting. Can we start with roll call, please?
Carolyn Adams.
Here.
Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan. Brad Brown.
Here.
Scott Reiser.
Here.
Dave Russell.
Here.
Susan Bush.
Here.
All right, the agenda for tonight looks like we're looking at conceptual design conference for the LLC Totem Lake Apartments project. But first, we have some meeting minutes to review and approve. I'm not sure if everyone's seen a copy of these and if they're okay with the drafts that we've been presented. If not, maybe we can...
Did you get any?
I didn't think I got
okay,
them.
I don't think I got any.
Didn't get any.
All right. Well, maybe we can pass this copy around to everyone and approve these after the design response conference, because I don't think we all want to take time reading through these before we approve them before the design conference. But otherwise, I don't think there's any other unfinished business. So unless there's any items not on the agenda that anyone from the public wants to discuss, we can jump into conceptual design. Or Jeremy, do you want us to get other copy printouts for the rest of the board to look at, or are we okay with reviewing these
no,
after?
No, would you, is my signature on those minutes?
Actually, I don't think it is. No, it is not.
Okay. We can just, we could just bring them back to the next meeting if you'd rather.
Okay.
I'm not sure why you all didn't get them in your packets.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
If then, in case we can, I'd hear a motion to table the approval of minutes till the next meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Those opposed? Motion carries. All right. So back to, if there's any requests from the audience for items not on the agenda, we can discuss those now. All right, seeing none, let's move into the conceptual design conference for Totem Lake Apartments. Scott, you want to start us off?
Hi. So, good evening, board. So, tonight we're going to review a conceptual design conference for the Terrene Ventures Totem Lake Apartments. This is a proposal to demolish existing two-story medical building and construct a six-story apartment building, approximately 7 feet in height, 70 feet in height, ground floor, amenity lobby for the residents, and below-grade parking. This isn't a familiar area to the board. It's right next to the Lennar property, up off 128th, and just north of the Totem Lake, village of Totem Lake. The property slopes gradually from 128th down to an existing vegetated slope that is to the south, located on the south property. Property is located in the TL1A zone. This is design review is required. And as such, the board will review the project for consistency with the design guidelines for pedestrian-oriented businesses. Business districts, right? And during this process, the conceptual and response conferences, the applicants can submit a building permit anytime, and planning department will be reviewing project for SEPA compliance as well. The proposed project, stack dwelling units, is allowed within the zone. It carries a 10-foot setback, front yard setback, from the property line abutting 128th Street. It has a per unit parking requirement plus visitor parking, and a standard tree retention plan is required. Other regulations include lot coverage 85%. While the applicant is not asking for an increase of this, the lot coverage to increase, they do have an ability to increase it by providing some superior landscaping. But of particular note to the board is the pedestrian connection. There is a through block pathway required from 128th down to the TL2 zone, which is the Totem Lake Mall zone. Complementing that, complementing that is the that 128th Street is a major major pedestrian sidewalk is required on this street, and needs to meet all the pedestrian oriented street standards there. The project is proposing to be approximately 70 feet, which is over the 30-foot height limit, which the project may exceed if they exceed the requirements of Chapter 92 and 105, and also that they provide 10% affordable housing. The board is to review the building massing. Key questions I've outlined in a handout here with you. What are the key vantage points for the project, and what are some massing techniques that would be appropriate? Again, special note here that the building, that the proposed project is exceeding 30 feet, and some the pedestrian orientation standards need to exceed our typical zoning standards. The board should review the proposal with that in mind, and provide guidance to the applicant, and review the project for how it engages pedestrians and how the massing relates to the pedestrian environment. Also, a particular note, I did add some handouts, basically what the board approved with Lennar property in relation to the through block pedestrian pathway. It has been altered from the approval to complement the proposed project, so there are some approved landscaping plans for you to look at as well. This again, what are the opportunities for the open space and landscaping with this project? And your actions tonight will be to provide feedback regarding the guidelines found in the pedestrian-oriented business district, and determine for the applicant what you need next to proceed to the design response conference in terms of materials. With that, if you have any questions, I can take that right now. With that, I can give this over to the applicant to begin their presentation.
I have a question.
Sure.
So what we approved on Lennar, they're going to have a common pedestrian corridor connecting to Totem Lake Mall. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they altered the landscape so that it works for both properties.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, good evening. I'm Diana Keyes from Johnson Brand, Director of Housing, and we are the architecture firm selected to work with Terrain Ventures on the Totem Lake Apartment Project. Scott went through most of the criteria of the site and the zoning, so I'm going to skip through much of that in our packet and get through to our site constraints and our proposed concepts. Just an overview of our development goals and vision. Our target goal for feasibility is 134 units in a multifamily building, so not a mixed-use building, but a multifamily building. Five stories of wood frame over a podium and below-grade parking. Development-wise, our goals and our vision is to work and be compatible with the approved Lennar development, which is a very large development right next to our site, work to be distinct as well as to enhance and be compatible with that project, to look at ways to enhance the pedestrian-friendly streetscape for Northeast 128th, which is a major pedestrian sidewalk, And then also look at a variety of opportunities for indoor and outdoor connections for both the residents as well as the public and pedestrians. I just quickly included some examples of Terrain Venture projects. So Terrain has done a lot of work in Kirkland and the single family side. And the principals have also done work under other companies for multifamily projects in Kirkland. So you may be aware of some of these projects. Johnson Braun projects in Kirkland, some notable ones are the Kirkland Central condos, the bottom on Second, and the Park Lane project, which is just wrapping up construction here on Park Lane. Again, I won't spend too much time on any of the site zoning, but did want to point out, I want to spend a little bit of time on the site itself and the constraints, because it is a very constrained site, and working out those constraints led us to our three options. So this is the existing survey. One of the key constraints is along the entire west side, we have a 20-foot easement for a water line. And then we also have a fairly steep slope from north to south. It's about 8 to 10 feet as we go down to the south. Other constraints are it is a mid-block site. It has very narrow frontage on the street. The only access to the site, vehicular access, is from the north on Northeast 128th. That proposes a couple of challenges. One, in working with the fire department, we need fire access all the way around this building. Two, locating the driveway is problematic because really the only code compliant driveway, if we leave everything as is, would kind of be down the center of the site, given requirements for separation with the driveway to Lennar and separation to the intersection on 120th. We also talked about the slope as a constraint and the water line as a constraint. What we've done to date to work with those constraints or to mitigate those constraints are representative in all the three schemes that we're going to present. So the first one is Terrain has worked closely with Lennar to mitigate the driveway access and fire access issues. And so they have negotiated a shared driveway, which is also been supported by City of Kirkland Transportation. That shared driveway is also an easement for our fire lane, so 150-foot dead-end fire lane easement. We're also going to be doing sharing trash staging and pickup. We're going to be sharing the green belt and the pedestrian connection, and Scott brought that up. So we're really trying to make the best use of that 20-foot waterline easement as this 20-foot wide green belt with the trails and nodes along that to the south. And we're also sharing the PET area. The other thing we worked with was with the fire. We've worked closely with the fire department on fire access. So we do have the fire lane along the east edge of the property. That is fire access only. It will be gated along the street frontage. Again, 150-foot dead-end configuration. And then we have the maximum hose lay between the two, the east and west fire lanes. We've mitigated some of the slope. We've used that as an opportunity for tucking in additional units in the daylight basement condition to the south, as well as using the slope to where we access our garage entry mid-block here, so we're accessing pretty much close to level of the below-grade parking. So again, all of these elements are incorporated into the concepts that we're going to be going through. One other element that we work closely with the fire department on is working with the fire marshal and construction details and types on building over the top of the fire lane. And so we've gotten approval from the fire marshal to do that, which will help with our frontage on 128th. So getting to our three schemes. The three schemes are very similar along their frontages, and really the differences are what happens to the massing of the building as it goes to the south, the massing and its relationships to open space and to views. So the first scheme is the inverted L. It is distinguished by a simple floor plan layout, double-loaded corridor, frontage on 128. In this scheme, we are not proposing building over the fire lane, so you can see what that short frontage looks like. We've located the entry to the amenity space, the residential entry, off of the northwest corner, and pushed all the units along to the edge of the water line and have a courtyard, a large courtyard to the east. So the opportunities we see, or the positive elements we see, is again the simple footprint and massing, highly visible northwest corner entry, and we've maximized the size of level one. We feel this scheme has a fair number of constraints, one of which, while this is a highly visible intersection, it's also a highly congested intersection where we have all the access from the parking going in and out. We have the access to the pedestrian connection. And with all the activity being focused here, it kind of has less interest as we move the store move along the sidewalk to the east. The large courtyard that we're providing is east-facing, so it'll be shaded, and it has limited number of units accessing onto it. Our frontage on 128th is fairly short and leaves a gap in the streetscape. The east and west facades are long with minimal modulation and not a very good pedestrian scale for our plaza connection. And it doesn't maximize the potential view opportunities to the south. And it has a low density yield, so it has 124 units in this scheme. So here again, you can see the entry on the corner. The blue is the resident lobby amenity space. The gap in the streetscape where the fire lane is. That tall frontage along the sidewalk. I'm sorry, along the pedestrian connection. And the short frontage on the south. So the next scheme we built off kind of lessons learned from those constraints and tried to improve upon that. So this scheme we're calling the S scheme. It's identifiable by a corridor that kind of zigs and zags to create an S. On this scheme, we are building over the fire lane, the stack of units, which lengthens the frontage on 128th. We've located the entry at the northeast corner, making double use of that covered space for that fire lane. So here we have the entry on this side, and we'll have the connection, the plaza, and the connection on this side. We've broken up that long massing along the east and west sides and created two courtyards. And we've maximized the orientation of units to the south for view and solar access. So again, we feel like this is starting to respond to the constraints of the previous scheme. However, this scheme also has some constraints that we need to work on. One is, from a construction standpoint, it's an inefficient and complicated building footprint. And while we're providing two courtyards, they're small, and they have a limited number of units that access onto them. We have the design challenge of how to successfully integrate this drive-under element along that frontage. And again, it doesn't maximize our potential. This one has 127 units. Again, these are the 3D massing, so you can see this one, the entry is off of that covered fire lane. We'll have a plaza and access point along this edge. This west facade, which was very long and tall previously, is now modulated and it provides a better pedestrian scale along the walkway, maximizing that south frontage. The next scheme, which is our preferred scheme, is the J scheme. So again, building off of the previous schemes, we have the units that stack over the fire lane. Again, that maximizes the frontage on 128th. In this one, we've located the entry to the amenity space in the middle. And we feel like this better activates the streetscape. We'll have the plaza entry and our pedestrian walkway along the west edge, looking at opportunities for indoor-outdoor connections in the amenity space here. We're looking at different opportunities for double use of this fire lane, It is gated, and it, part of it is covered, and it's only going to be used in an emergency for fire. So we're looking at ways to, again, make double use of the space for resident activities. The amenity space accesses onto it in a couple of locations. Excuse me. In this scheme, we've set in the east and west units, breaking up the facade along that, those two edges, and helping with the pedestrian scale, and maximizing the number of units that front onto courtyards and terrace level amenity spaces. And we've maximized the number of units facing south. So we really feel like this scheme has worked to reduce the number of constraints that we previously identified, and really we're left with a design challenge, which we're up to the challenge of how to successfully integrate that building over the fire lane. There's the 3D view. So in this scheme, the entry is on the middle. We have the fire lane access here, which will be, again, is gated only for fire access. We have the plaza and the walkway here with potential for indoor-outdoor connections. The indent along the east and west sides help mitigate the massing and scale. Again, here's the design challenge of how do we integrate this well into the frontage and maximizing the south exposure. At our pre-submittal conference, we talked with Scott a bit about what the board really was looking at as with the approval of the adjacent Lennar apartments. It doesn't follow the prescriptive approach of some of the setbacks in the code. And we were directed to really study this and look at this as design cues for our building, meaning to try to create a compatible streetscape, a consistent streetscape. You can see our building is much smaller than the adjacent project. We're about the same height, both at the ground amenity level and the upper level. Scott also mentioned that we are using the exception for increased building height, which requires additional pedestrian elements as well, and which we're talking about with the plaza, and Roby will get to when he talks to landscape, but also other pedestrian-friendly building frontage elements. We're looking at incorporating some upper-level balconies along the frontage, along the corner. Again, eyes on the street overlooking the plaza and the walkway to the south. Large storefront along the residential lobby areas with overhead weather protection. And introducing some art elements and screening with the gateways and the potential for archways and gateways at the plaza.
In that figure, the distance between your project and Lennar, is that scaled right, or is that?
That is scaled correctly, yes.
Thank you.
This I just put in quickly. It was just an initial concept of what we're proposing at that ground level amenity space. So really looking at a lot of active residential spaces along this frontage. So maximizing the amount of glazing along this frontage and the amount of folks who will be sitting waiting for an Uber or waiting to talk to the leasing, just groups gathering, the large club room that you could lease out with games and TV for football games, and then the opportunity for this indoor-outdoor connection and screening to the plaza and trail.
In that figure, is there any public area?
So the public area, which will show up on the landscape plan, happens along here.
Okay.
So we have a plaza trail, potential for this two-sided fireplace that could engage the plaza, and then it connects down into the walkway. And at this point, I'll hand it over to Roby to go through landscape, and then we can circle back for any questions that you may have.
Good evening, I'm Roby Snow with the LA Studio. And I'll go through these drawings real quickly here. So this is just kind of the overall site plan. Diana touched on the street scene that we're trying to achieve. We're trying to basically, as she said, pick up some design cues from the Lennar project and continue some of the paving patterns or similar paving patterns and treatments, as well as the streetscape, street trees, to give kind of a extended contiguous street scene for that section of 128. Thought it would be a nice treatment for the pedestrian zone. And as has been mentioned, this whole kind of open space corridor linkage, we're looking at enhancing that with, you know, some pedestrian seating nodes with a little bit of turf panels and kind of an enriched native or Northwest adaptive plant palette. It is a utility corridor, so we can't do any trees down through there, but we're still have a pretty generous path, and it serves both projects. And as she mentioned, it gives us an opportunity to kind of expand the dog park and kind of have a shared use there, make that a nice amenity for both projects. And then, like I said, it continues and for future potential connection to parcels to the south and on to the mall, potentially, I suppose. On this plan, you know, it just shows quickly some of the private terraces with some furniture and pots. The roof terrace, it has some nice amenities with some nice seating areas, lounge areas, some gaming opportunities, grills. And then likewise, there's a couple more private terraces on the east side that face this fire lane, which would have the grass crete so that it could potentially be used, you know, further, kind of have a multi-purpose turf area there for people could exercise their dogs or play frisbee or something of that nature. So that I think that's kind of a nice additional flat usable space for the project. So these couple enlargements here, I can just touch base quickly on some of the amenities. To kind of enhance this plaza area, we're looking at, Dinah had an image of some decorative screen, metal screen that could partially enclose this patio area, two-sided fireplace with a nice, you know, kind of a group bench, some additional seating, enhanced paving, and potentially this the facade of the building to extend across and create this kind of gateway into this open space corridor leading to the south. We have bicycle racks and some, you know, decorative pots along the street scene, some additional seating. So we really feel like we've tried to enrich the pedestrian experience along the street frontage and as a kind of a departure or arrival for this open space corridor. These are just some of the images here of some decorative pots. We're looking at doing some on the roof. We would have pedestal pavers with some inlays of the EPE panels. Some examples of this two-sided water feature and fireplace that could occur at the plaza area. And also, we're looking at potentially doing a double-sided fireplace on the roof. So that's kind of an overview of how we're looking at articulating some of the site amenity areas. The plant, this is some candidate imagery of some a plant palette. We'll obviously go in and further define this as we work with the architects on how the building ends up being articulated and planting zones and spaces. We'll refine this palette, but this is kind of a good example of a good starting point. And I think that's all I have for now. If there's any questions. Thank you.
I've got a couple of simple questions. Sure. So the lot coverage, for instance, for your preferred, is that 85%?
Just under 85%, okay. So we're not asking for any additional lot coverage. And part of that is because, again, our site is so constrained. We have to have the fire lane to the east, we have to have the water line easement to the west, and we need fire lane. So we're really maximizing our footprint within our constraints, and we don't need any additional.
And you actually have seven apartment levels on the south?
Correct. That's correct. So we have five levels in wood. We have one level, level one in concrete, and then we tucked in units in this parking garage to take advantage of that slope.
On the sidewalk. So you have a 10-foot setback from?
We have 10-foot setback from our
property. Can you go over that just real quick, where the property line is? And so how far from the actual street, from the edge of the sidewalk curb, will it be to the building?
So we have from here, from the property line to the building is 10 feet. And then there was a 7-foot dedication for the existing street frontage. So I believe this is 7 feet and 10 feet. And then we have, similar to Lennar, we've created a turnout lane for loading, unloading, move-in type operations. So this is probably around 11 to 12 feet, and this is around 17 feet. Again, that's consistent with the Lennar street frontage. They have the same 10-foot setback.
I have a question on the, I think you described the garbage and recycling and all that is going to be handled. Is it in an enlarged structure on Lennar's?
So the way the trash works on Lennar is they have trash chutes within their building that leads to compactors in the garage. And then they haul their trash out to these larger compactors, so trash is actually compacted twice, and these are very large dumpsters, so two large dumpsters. And so the owner has worked with Lennar. We will be doing the same. We have trash chutes within our building that lead to trash rooms and compactors in the garage, and then on pickup day, the trash will be hauled out, compacted again, and then hauled out. So my understanding, and I wasn't a part of this conversation, but my understanding is that the size of this large compactor did not need to increase with the addition of our project, just the number of times a week that it gets picked up will increase.
And that was the kind of grass-sided building or something?
Right, it has a green roof on top of it, and then it has green screens along the edges.
Okay.
In the original approved design.
And what's that, just to the east of that?
This?
Yes. That.
So that is the large water vault. That's a part of the water line. And so it is, there is a large vault. It can have dirt over the top of it. And then currently there is mulch over the top of it. We just showed it graphically so that we didn't plant over the top of it or drive over the top of it. So for us, it's like a marker, but it could be shaded green over the top of it.
But it's flush. It's not above grade.
It's below grade. Probably, what, 12 to 18 inches below grade? And we have worked with the water district, and we've potholed the lines to find the depth of the water line to make sure that we can have these driveway crossings and such and work with the water line. So that's been vetted out at this point.
And I know Lennar had three entries to garages because they did not do ramps.
Right.
So how does this get overloaded, or do we increase the width of the paving? I know it looks like sort of a bulb out for a turn.
What we've proposed is with the addition of our units, we're proposing a left-hand turn lane. So in the traffic demand studies, that's what they found, that there'll be some backup for people waiting to turn left. And so, again, and that would happen even with just the Lennar project. So by adding ours, we're able to take up the space needed for the turn lane on our property and add that to the project. And again, our traffic study has looked at the peak traffic time and the loads on the street, and found that it will work. And we originally had traffic concurrency through City of Kirkland with our 120 scheme, and it's all been redone now for the 134 unit scheme. Yeah.
So I know 128th is a mess because there's no center median to capture cars turning in and out. Is this kind of a staff question too? Does that get addressed at all in this with SEPA or anything else? Or do we, because that left-hand turn lane, you know, you can wait forever sometimes to turn left when there's the two westbound lanes are open and empty because there's no refuge.
Yeah, the traffic study, I guess, timed the gaps that are available. That's all in the report, and that'll be addressed during SEPA as well as in the concurrency review with transportation.
And that's after we add in about 600 units for Village? Okay.
And like I said, the city of Kirkland Transportation was very keen on getting this shared driveway.
Sure.
They strongly, I think they were kind of holding on Lennar's permits to really encourage this because, again, just another curb cut along this frontage would help, would kind of destroy this major pedestrian sidewalk goal that we're working towards.
And we assume that that little tiny leftover parcel to the east is unbuildable at this point, or?
It's not for sale.
You tried to.
I mean, it's similar.
We tried. Okay.
Similar width.
Yes, about the
same. Just not the depth, because that's above the physical therapist that had the, all the stuff going on with, I mean, the parcel that this butts up against is the uphill side of the physical therapy office.
So you can see it's right here.
Okay.
The east parcel.
And we say.
Similar width, but shorter.
And then the property just to the south of that physical therapy where we have that.
Okay, yeah.
Shared driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah, the requirement, there's requirements if this were to be developed about access, sharing the driveway access.
And then eventually the pedestrian plaza courtyard, everything eventually has to rely on somebody else to connect it all the way through to Totem Lake. It's not at all part of Lennar in this in combo, correct?
So the Lennar scheme has a walkway along this edge, so it doesn't dead end. It still will get you out, but it'll be up to future development to the south to complete the link to the Village.
Per that requirement, that through block requirement, it's also connecting down towards the TL2 zone, which is.
It's a good point, though, and on the pedestrian path, it would probably make more sense to terminate it at the corner. So if that gives two options for a connection to the south, depending on which property redevelops first. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, so we get to there. So have it stop somewhere in here. So it could either connect this way.
Or just bring it all the way down to the point of the triangle so it could go either direction.
Have it come back around to somewhere here. That makes sense, because, yeah, this one may develop first or this one may.
Right.
Okay.
And so, you know, thinking back to the map and the other property, this is residential? Like, there's no market for offices or commercial in that, you know, bottom level with the proximity to the hospital? I'm just surprised that, you know, it's not going to be mixed use.
Doesn't have to be.
So it's not
no
a
requirement.
There's no requirement for use. And we really, again, want to make it an amenity space for the residents and really enhance that indoor-outdoor experience.
The only requirement was the height, that first floor height, is that right?
13 feet, 13. Which we have.
That's
in our,
correct.
Have
okay.
In our project.
So what specifically did you add to mitigate the extra height that you were getting?
So that was the expanding on this plaza.
Uh-huh.
Adding pedestrian-oriented elements. So Roby hinted a little bit, and we have this, you know, we're further down the line in design on this, but using of public art. So we have a potential gateway connection across here that has some public art elements, picking up on a metal art screen for screening the patio and screening this gate so that the gate to the fire lane is kind of an art element in and of itself. It's going to be closed most of the time. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at art elements with those potential screens, fireplace, water feature, you know, just those type of elements. And we're still developing more because it's kind of a subjective code section where you just have to exceed. But it's like part of that is a discussion here of what that means, and then also looking at the example of what was approved with Lennar, with some of their like ins and outs and kind of little spots for seating and public art that they have on the corner. So again, we're looking to them for cues for how to make this kind of a continuous street, a compatible streetscape, and then enhancing this. I mean, this walkway, using the 20-foot water line easement and enhancing that whole greenbelt connection to the trail is significantly more than what was previously approved with Lennar. They just basically had a sidewalk right along their property line. Mm-hmm. So again, that would be something where I say that that's exceeding that requirement. So
the preferred scheme, the second level terraces are all private, where in both the S and the L, that second level terraces were open to all units?
Actually, they were, the only one that was open to all was this first scheme. It had access from the amenity space. But again, it was east facing and it's still fairly linear.
Two small ones in the S scheme weren't?
In the S scheme, these were just accessed from, I guess there could have been some here, but again, it's very minor, but these were all accessed from units.
But the kink in the corridor there?
I mean, you could have access here, but again, it's such a small little wedge.
Okay.
But again, in this preferred scheme, these are private terraces. These ones are raised above grade, about 6 to 8 feet. These ones are at the same level as the fire lane. So we're really looking to expand that terrace over the fire lane with the use of grasscrete or some other spaces. And then this is the edge where we're encouraging at grade resident use, so double use of that fire lane. And we know that there could be no permanent structures or anything in there, but I think there's a lot of things just to have open space where you can go throw a frisbee or, you know, do yoga or, you know, something out there. I think we can really look at opportunities for double use of that fire lane.
Would you say again the east terraces and then the grasscrete? What's the?
They're the same level.
It's the same level.
But yeah. So the fire lane, rather than sloping down the grade, stays up because there's parking. Or in this case, there's a detention vault, which we're still working out detention. But in this case, the detention vault was underneath the fire lane. But the goal is to keep that fire lane up, and then we'll have to look at retaining wall and softening that wall with our landscaping along the edge there.
But will the terraces on the east be sort of private?
They'll have a screen. Yeah, we have, I think Ruby had planters screening. Okay. Yeah, so you can see right here, there's planters that screen the units, and then this has a low rail with an opening. So again, these are still concept level ideas. By keeping the fire lane level, it really, again, maximizes the opportunity for how we can use that space, as opposed to it's, you know, going down the slope. There's less kind of things you can do. You can't really kick a soccer ball around on a slope or, you know, those type of things.
On both the preferred and the S scheme, if we eliminate the units over the fire lane, we lose 3 units each scheme?
4 units.
Oh, 4 stories. And they're, I assume they're pretty deluxe because they're good sized.
Those units have access to light on both ends. And we spent a lot of time working with the fire department on how to add that, because I guess we felt that we have such limited frontage on 128th to start out with, that whatever we can do to expand that frontage and kind of screen the fire lane, because again, the fire lane is only for fire access. If we could do it in a way that was built, it would look less obvious than our building stopping and then having a gate and a fence. And of course, it also it helped increase our yield, so we felt it was a win-win situation. As we've worked on this design now, we're further along in actually developing the materiality and the modulation. We've looked at, you know, lowering this headroom within the fire lane. We have to keep it up high, but bringing this down so it's more compatible with our 13-foot frontage. So we've done some things already to help balance out that elevation.
And is there a limit for how far those units over the fire lane can go? In other words, could you, at least on the S scheme, yeah, you give up the three-sided unit 22, but could you add unit 23 and have 2 corner units?
Yeah, no. So, again, we spent a lot of time negotiating with the fire department. So our original scheme that we had at our pre-submittal conference, we had another stack. We had a corridor and we had a stack of units here. And that was really a no-starter for the fire department. They said, that's too far to be under a building and so forth. So
okay.
Part of our negotiation with them is that you're only under the building for one unit. And then one of the things that they liked in this scheme was also pushing it back from this edge for fire spread concerns. So I think when in working with the fire marshal, he said that was the one single thing we did that helped. We also took off a unit to give the higher depth when they're going under. So there's more, obviously we met the clearance, the minimum clearance before, but he wanted even more like protection to that 3-hour rated lid. So before we had 5 units stacking over this, and now we only have 4. So.
Okay. I'm done, Brad, with my.
Now, anyone else?
Yeah, I have a few questions.
Yeah.
I think in extensions of what we were just talking about. So I understand that the east courtyard is at grade.
Mm-hmm.
The west is, does it go from like 0 to 6 or does it go from?
Let's see if we can get you to a 3D view that shows it better.
And I'm just curious, what is the use under that and so how much blank wall do
so
we
it's
have?
Parking. So you can kind of see, here's the that patio porch where we're looking at the fireplace. That is at grades here.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately we're sloping down with the Lennar driveway.
Mm-hmm.
When we get down to this point, we're pretty much at the grade of the parking garage below. So we're 8 feet right here. So I misspoke. It's 8 feet or 9 feet here, and then it gets larger as it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
That is parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, we can look at, it's the edge of that pedestrian grain belt. So we can look at, I had some examples in there about blank wall treatments. We could look at green screens to help screen that wall. We can look at openings into the parking garage itself with maybe continuing along some of the artwork grills that we're proposing along this frontage that can continue along that walkway, which might be a nice continuity element. But I also think it's nice along this edge because this is open to the public, right? Who knows, anyone can walk down here. So I think having the units raised up from a security standpoint along that edge is a good thing.
I think that, you know, just trying to get an idea of how that parking garage presents itself
yeah.
to the public way.
Yeah.
For the water easement itself,
mm-hmm.
is the 20 feet, you mentioned that you can't plant trees, you can't put any permanent structures in
correct.
There. Is that edge to edge of it, or is it you know, like a cone from the line itself.
So in the entire 20-foot easement,
mm-hmm.
we cannot put permanent structures and we cannot have trees. They said we can have large shrubs. We could have walkways, although if they have to build, we have to tear it up and at the owner's expense have to put it back. We showed them the large plaza, which, you know, covers up the majority, and they said the same thing. That could be a combination of pavers or concrete, but we just have to take the risk that it could be torn up if need be.
Okay, okay, that's good. And then the other thing is, so we've talked about the grade on the east and the grade on the west.
Mm-hmm.
And on the south, you've mentioned that you have units below grade.
Yeah, they're at grade. So because of the slope, we have the 10-foot of grade change.
Okay.
And so those units are fully...
Okay.
If they're buried at all, again, we'd have to look more closely at the survey. They would probably be buried 18 inches or so.
Okay, so it's not a well.
No, it's not a well.
It's,
it was, again, looking at, we had the constraint that our site slopes 10 feet. Let's tuck units under there as opposed to having garage exposure there.
Sure. When you look at the photo, I was curious about the vantage of the south facade of the project
mm-hmm.
from below. And it appears to be, it looks like there's a steep slope, some water.
Vegetation.
Issues.
So there's, I don't know that there's water issues. So right now it's a steep slope and there's lots of berry bushes.
Okay.
Let's see what photo.
Three, maybe.
Yeah, number 3, it just looks like a forest. So. I'm just curious, is there...
I'm sorry, what page are you looking at?
Page 9. So when you're down below, and looking up at when everybody else is down below, looking up at your project, I'm just trying to get a feeling, is that steep slope protected, and is always going to be treed, or is it going to go away, and are we going to see that south facade?
The majority of that slope, of the steep slope, is not on our property.
Okay.
And so that's going to be protected because it's not on our property.
Does anybody know if it's a sensitive area?
We've checked that, and we don't believe it is because it was man-made. We did ask at our pre-submittal conference.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think with the setbacks, you'd probably assume when that property redevelops that
it's
be gone, retained.
So,
yeah.
So it will be pretty visible from that face. Okay. And then, shoot, I lost my train of thought. I'll figure it out. That was the thanks.
I just have one. Okay, can you just review how much of that corner area is, you know, you're off of 128, and you're saying it goes into what will be your public, and looking at the plan, a lot of that looks like it's screened off for the building use. What is actually going to be the public use?
So the the demising portion is are these columns and the fireplace. That is the line of the building above. So we've created kind of this to help expand. Part of this did get eaten into when we added the turn lane. So we had a larger plaza. By function of combining driveways, we needed the turn lane. So we looked at, well, how can we visually expand on this space? So we've tucked it under the building. It's connected to the club room.
But
essentially half of it under the building we want to be for residents, where, you know, it's not gated off, but we are creating visual cues for separation with the fireplace, with the screen from the street, and so they'll just be the one kind of open. It's about about 8 foot opening to the plaza, but over the top of the fireplace you'll be able to see through. So it's about half of that is public, and half is for resident use. And then as you go down through here, we have the nodes of seating that are public. There's three nodes along the pathway.
I have a question for staff. So how is it worded to get the extra height? You know, what is the trade-off? How are we supposed to judge this?
Yeah, I had it in my... Oh, great. There's a very, very small print here. Do you have the code right there? With the?
I think I have it.
It's in the, to the table. Under...
So it has to exceed...
There it is, yeah.
The development should have to exceed the requirements of 9215 and Chapter 105. Examples include pedestrian walkways through the property, public plazas, public art, and fountains. And so we're providing a public plaza, we're providing public art, we're proposing potential water feature and fire, you know, may end up being one as we work through the design. So we're providing those types of examples, or we're providing each of those examples. So again, the pedestrian walkway through the property is a code requirement for us, but when we say that we're exceeding that, it's because we're it's not just a walkway, it's this whole 20 foot wide green belt.
I think, as they touched on earlier, probably a way to make it somewhat scalable is to think about what Lennar ultimately had approved and scale it to this project. So look at Lennar's public arts program, their sidewalk improvements, their dog park, pedestrian pathways wrapping around the building. So I think as you go through the design review process, that's probably the easiest way to get your hands around something that's scalable between the two projects.
And to remind you, I have given you the approved landscaping plan, which includes the approved dog park, the approved, you know, 128th improvements.
Any other questions?
Can you go back to the expanded the landscape enlargement on that northwest corner? Yeah, that one. So would it be at, I'm looking at the corner balconies that are going to look down. Those would be at starting right at floor level 2.
They're at they're 13 feet above this plaza.
And they're right at they don't go to the property line. They just go to the building face, which is held back.
Yeah, the building is steps back, so they would fit in here.
And do you anticipate them wrapping around down southbound or just?
We anticipate the usable portion of the balcony to face 128th and then a Juliet-type rail to turn the corner. And again, we still need to determine with that waterline easement whether or not anything can cantilever over the top of that. When we asked our questions before, we didn't get that. So right now, the usable balcony is here and then a Juliet edge that does not go over the property line or the easement line.
Into the easement, okay.
But these have large, you know, expansive glass. Again, I think that's important for eyes on the street and overlooking that entrance for folks, for the public coming into that walkway.
Okay. I am now done with questions, I promise.
Anyone else? Or should we move into deliberation? Who'd like to start?
Is there any public?
Oh, yes.
I'll start. Oh,
this
yeah,
is right.
Are there any public?
If there's any public comments?
So I don't have a huge amount of feedback. I agree with the logic for the preferred scheme. I don't think there's a huge difference, but I also recognize that there's significant limitations which make it really a challenge. I'd like to see more modulation. It's basically the same footprint going up all five stories, and I think developing it needs to have more texture and more modulation throughout. I think that Jeremy's comment to connect that path was right on, just so that there leaves more option and better chance of actually getting that throughway connected. What my biggest concern is that the public spaces feel like, okay, we check off this amenity, it's on the plan, but it's not conceived of as a public versus a private space or a pedestrian space. And I think in Lennar, that was better developed and, you know, not just, okay, here's a decorative great grill, there's a water feature. It just feels like they're kind of popped in there, but nothing really feels particularly appealing to me as a pedestrian the way it's laid out at this point. Not.
Okay, I actually liked, I realize that we can't be too picky when you have the constraints of this site. But what I did appreciate about option 2 is, I think as the building was built, you could actually see some modulation of the building. And in the preferred, it's 1 and 3. I just think there is no modulation. And on 128th, especially with the Lennar, which we fought them on it being so straight and long, and we made them step back, and they did the box framing, which I'm hoping when they say they're taking the cues from Lennar, that we don't come back with a whole bunch of frames.
like we've done on every new project that we're getting. I would like to see a building that's different than Lennar. And what Lennar did very effectively, and I don't see it here, is their sidewalk worked with their building. It had, you know, texture, it had art area, and I think when you say you're exceeding, I don't think this plan exceeds it in any way, shape, or form. The walkway was already code. The, you know, greenbelt pathway required by the water was already, it's already going to be there. That's not exceeding. Mm-hmm. And you can't say, well, we had to do it, so it should check both boxes. And if you're providing cool amenities for your building, you can't say, well, the backside of this is also for our public. It needs to exceed. And we held Lennar to that. They did do public art. They did change their sidewalk. They made the sidewalk very interesting. So I'm a little torn over approving the, you know, preferred option, because I see the building massing, and if we send them out of here with this straight up and down 128th, that is going to be the most visible. I'm uncomfortable with that.
Well, I think I was saying the same thing, maybe not as overtly, but yeah, it's too.
I'm leaving in March, so I can say things. No, I just think that we have a very flat, and we're and saying we let it happen at Lennar, so this project should have it. You know what? We worked on Lennar for a long time, and they came back multiple times, and we hammered them on that long, linear, straight up and down. So that's what bothers me on this plan. I just wish one of the three options didn't have a straight up and down 128.
My thoughts on it were, when I initially looked at it, I was not at all impressed or encouraged by how the buildings over the top of the fire lane would look and work, and if those get lopped off. I know the applicant says, oh, we wanted to increase the frontage width on 128th to make so we don't have these sort of gaps between. Well, we already have a huge gap between Lennar and this one. I don't think the building would suffer one bit by having those lopped off and having a narrow, long building that gives you much more opportunity to deal with what is on 128th. Obviously, the plan gets reworked because they've got an exit column right there on the exterior, but that can go closer to the elevator bank or something else. But I just think you can see it in the way that's rendered in the massing models. There's either a big blue fin wall, or does it become columns with screening between it, or what does that outer colonnade look like that supports these, those units? And I think that can be dealt with if you have to have gates for a fire lane. There's ways to deal with that adjacent to a building and not sort of underneath, like it's, you know, carriage doors, you know, opening to get into through under the porte cochere, you know, that thing. I think the fact that you don't have structure and units above, four units above that, is easily dealt with visually. That was my main thought there. I'm kind of willing to say they're pretty close to meeting the enhanced public aspects to get the height above 30 feet. I mean, all the schemes, you need that, you know, to get any floors above the second or third one. So, and to the extent that the fire lane becomes sort of usable off those units, if there's nothing above them, it'd be terrible if there was stuff that just kind of creeped and grew out into the fire lane in terms of bicycles and barbecues and kids' play toys and this and that, and then the fire truck needs to get through there. I think that has to be addressed on the preferred scheme, certainly, and I didn't look to see if the other ones had that. It didn't appear that there's any fencing or sort of delineation that says this is where you can put things instead of it just kind of creeps out into the grasscrete area where it can become sort of more in the way, if you will.
I thought of that, but I was only more concerned. I checked the front to be sure, but this isn't condos, this is apartments. So I was like, okay, so someone's going to be on site, some sort of building manager to keep an eye on that, because I have the exact same worry. But I don't, I think it'll be okay as apartments.
Okay.
If it were condos, then yeah, absolutely. But I think it might be okay. I like it better than if it were paved.
Yeah.
Say that.
Yeah. What do others think those stacked units above the, with a gaping maw, to the extent that they can lower it down exactly to the minimum height that the fire department requires, it still is this just kind of these overhead units that are hanging out up there.
Gee, that didn't bother me. I thought just added interest, it's different.
Okay. You know, it the doesn't whole, bother me.
How 128th is handled, the yeah. modulation on 128th, I think, needs to be worked. But
I think depending on, you know, have them convince me with the looking at the elevations and the more developed masking, and I'm
okay.
Susan?
Yeah, so I actually feel like we did see three schemes this time, which is refreshing, especially for a site that didn't have a lot of opportunity. And I was kind of intrigued by the middle scheme, but, you know, upon studying it further, I'm not sure we gained that much with the forms that were created. So I agree with
you. I was also wondering who's going to see it.
Yeah. Well, that's actually, so I was looking, I think the views are really helpful when you are looking down the long sides of the building. And in fact, on the J scheme, I do feel like it's fairly pleasing looking down both sides to see the modulation along that side and the recess. I was on the west, I was a little disappointed to learn that green space isn't just, that the public way doesn't just flow at grade into that courtyard area. I mean, I think a couple feet difference would be nice. The fact that it's a full story above, mm-hmm. I feel that the treatment of that wall is going to be very important. I think that what I see in this project is, you know, what we didn't see in Lennar is there is a lot of open space left, and I grant you that it's not being given out of the goodness of the owner's heart. It's required, but at the same time, I think that there's opportunity there for them to demonstrate some true amenity in those open spaces, and I think that's where we're not seeing it yet, but you know, what can that be, the both on the water line and on the fire lane side. Personally, I wouldn't mind some paving in there. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing it become a, you know, a sport cart or something active, and not just, it's a lot of grasscrete. So, you know, what is the potential there? I think that there's a lot of opportunity for the architect and the landscape and the owner to, you know, be creative. So what it really comes down to for me is the south and the north facade. And I don't mind the extension over the fire lane for that stack of units. What I do feel is that the north facade is, it's really not anything yet, and that is the main street front facade. The unit layout behind it is, there's no rhythm or pattern or particular organization to those units and how they're going to inform that facade. So I'm concerned about that side. And then to on the south. I think that's going to be one of the key advantages to the of the project from the neighborhood, and so I think it needs an equal amount of care. And I think that's pretty much my comments.
So nothing really, I guess, to add. I agree that third scheme, preferred scheme, I think does have modulation on the east and west that helps break up those long sides. And the key concern, as Susan said, it would be 128th in the south. It's good to see this project that's working together with the project next to it for the public, for everybody's benefit. So that's all I have.
Yeah, I think it'd be real critical to see Susan's point. What does that south elevation look like from down below?
Yeah.
Either now with fully foliage by the neighbors, or later on if, you know, something gets built there. And it may be a, you know, Google Earth or something that lets us sort of zoom in and get to the right spot and see what's there now, or just site photos. I wasn't alarmed by this tall up on the top of the hill sort of character of it, because I think it could really have some interesting things going on, even though they identically stack. I think there's still some opportunities there to really play with that, and the odd angles and the there's opportunities there. I didn't see it as a huge
No, and it is mid-block.
Yeah, mid-block.
It would be good to, when it comes back, to see the views with Lennar next to it. This is going to look like a really petite little thing, right? So,
what is the height difference? That's for the architects.
I think it's about the same.
Yeah.
It's because you're limited by the type 5 construction.
Yeah,
we're limited to 70 feet by building code.
Above, yeah.
And so our first floor and our fourth floor are the same.
I would like to go back one thing. I agree. I mean, I understand, you know, taking some cues from Lennar, but I wouldn't say match it. I think this needs to be its own project.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can come up to the microphone. Thanks.
What I took at the pre-submittal conference when Scott mentioned taking a look at the Lennar project was really more massing and the section of from the streetscape. What happens, you know, does it go all up? Does it go up two stories and set back?
Mm-hmm.
So it's more vertical modulation compatibility with that streetscape, as opposed to design elements. Like, they have the big boxes and other things that we're not proposing on this small. But those would be overwhelming on the small building. So it's really modulation vertically that we're trying to be compatible with.
Okay. I think the board's summed up my feelings, you know, so I can be quick. You know, I've seen enough, you know, from the conceptual design that I feel confident, you know, with the level of thought that they've put in. There's just those few kind of key areas that I think with, you know, further refinement can make for a really successful project. I think, you know, at this level, we've already seen some kind of forethought that we don't always get from other, you know, presentations. So I feel confident that with some development, you know, the public amenity area can be better. The pathway, you know, can become stronger. That if they, you know, do a little bit more with the fire lane and the turf pavers, you know, I think I can feel more confident about that moving forward. And like everyone's mentioned, that south facade, I think, is going to be a lot more prominent than, you know, just a first glance in a floor plan, you know, we'd imagine. I have on my notes, I'd like to see, like, from, like, Google Earth, just like you said, a view from Totem Lake Mall. What will people be looking up at? I think that's going to be, you know, actually a lot more key vantage point than someone would first think. So I think with some further development of that, you know, this can become, you know, really strong. So I guess what would people like to see for the next meeting?
I'd like to see from across 128th especially. Or maybe even down 128th, okay, from the, what's the building gonna look like with Lennar in the foreground and, you know, looking down 128th?
I think all of the elevations too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to see some image from the ground level at the dog park, like looking down the pathway, you know, and seeing kind of that verticality and that canyon effect, seeing, you know, what's that pedestrian experience going to be like when you're inside of it. I think that'll be a key selling point. You know.
Yeah, I think more detail on the pedestrian areas, because that is the the trade-off amenity. And then
treatment of the wall you brought up, that's a good point.
And then things that we tend to be, you know, looking for when the project, as the project evolves, is, you know, modulation, vertical and horizontal, roof edge modulation. It's really tough on these projects because they max out the height limit and we just see that static coping. And, you know, what's the possibility there for that?
Well, plus this will be looked down upon, too, from the hospital, so.
Storefront character, you know, canopies.
Yeah, and how is it going to relay on 128th looking, you know, at this fire lane? So I think that's going to be key, too.
But I think, I mean, I think that there's a great opportunity there, so. Wow, with that treatment.
Are you saying push the fire department as far as you can push them?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe, maybe there's some crazy lighting or neon underneath, or, you know, maybe, you know, that's one of the things that, and don't take me too seriously, it's somewhat tongue in cheek, but, you know, it is this portal that's going to be there. It's this tall space that's there on the street. So what could it be? You know, we have Lennar use their art as a main, was one of their key selling points to us. And I hope it's still there, that sort of linear sculpture
with the
element down the street. So is there a way to, you know, maybe that, this, that's what makes this block special.
Should we look at some of these questions that Scott gave us? Anything else that we need to address? Open space linking with adjacent properties. Can be touched.
Well, so key advantages, I think, the north facade, south facade, and the west garage on the wall.
Looking through that portal, like you just said, I think that's going to be a key vantage point. What are, because a lot of people are going to be walking down this, you know, and they're going to be looking down that, you know, if it's just all bare concrete, you know, inside, you know, roof and alongside the stairwell, how they treat that's going to be really important. Again, vertical, yeah, vertical modulation. Like to see more detail and development of that.
I just think on the north, because it is a short facade, you know, what does that mean in terms of the, you know, the pattern across that facade? Like I said, right now it's not necessarily an asymmetrical pattern. It's not certainly not symmetrical. Is there a way to have that guy hang together a little more?
Scott, is there anything else you need from us to move forward with your meetings? Have we answered these, or should we be more formal about filling out these questions?
I think you've done a pretty good job. Definitely identified identified your concerns about the building massing along all of the sides. I'm seeing, you've got definitely a concentration on some, and reiterated as a group, the key vantage points on the north facade, south facade, your walkthroughs along the pedestrian ways, and even maybe even within the fire lane area where you probably want to see a little bit more of a pedestrian focus there. Mm-hmm. Looking at vantages down from Totem Lake Mall, looking up, down 128th from the Lennar, maybe from that 128th Totem Lake Boulevard vantage, and also maybe a kind of a close look at that garage or that fire lane screening area and how the pedestrians will experience that as well. And near the driveway entrance is what I also heard. So it looks like you guys are just wrapping around the building. You started off north and south, and you said, let's just wrap the whole building. A lot of conversation about working more on the details, modulations, especially on the north facade.
Yeah. I think one of the interesting views of this and Lennar is going to be northbound on the freeway on 405. It's amazing how much you will see these three lined up, you know, boom, boom, boom across. Not that there's a whole lot to worry about, but just to see what they, you know, how they stack up together.
Mm-hmm. Ironically, this will be this really narrow, flat arm face.
That should be okay, though.
No, I think, yeah.
But to the extent that it sticks out a little further south than Lennar, when you come up a little closer, you'll see that it, in fact, has its side that has, you know, its west side is a little different. The other interesting one that I don't think you'll see this from the southbound 405, but you certainly see Lennar from southbound 405, even though you're kind of in that canyon.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I suppose I should read Nolan's comments. We've touched on it, but Nolan did have concerns about turf pavers and the kind of the quality of the landscaping used. You know, he was concerned it was just going to be boilerplate. So if we get some development of the kind of the types of plantings that are going to go in, you know, in our future meetings.
The palette that they showed in these plans, I would say beef up, especially evergreen. It was fairly deciduous and not the type of plant material that I would think, 10 years from now, that's going to be here and that's going to actually accent the building. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what I would be looking for on this. The turfcrete actually is kind of nice, and for this type of situation, I think it's very suitable.
For the whole thing, though, I mean, don't you think that if it could be a resident amenity out there?
No, I mean, I think it's not for the whole thing, but I think you can do.
Yeah.
It's kind of a question to staff, and you may not know the answer. Can we put sport courts and painted lines and things in a fire lane? I know didn't the East Side Prep?
Yeah,
well, they.
Did.
Yeah,
they have a basketball court there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that, from my experience, you can't put, like they said, structures. They keep saying structures. So anything that would hinder fire truck access, you know, and also the movement of equipment and hoses and things. So maybe if they put a couple of, you know, basketball poles in, that fire department would be okay with that. They can't let other parking be in there. You know, you can't stripe it for parking. But striping for other activities might be okay. That's going to come down to the fire department's preference, though.
Might be part of the lot coverage if they're treating it as partially pervious, that may be one of the reasons, but.
It's not.
Well, grass creates that.
It's not considered
pervious.
Doesn't even get 50.
There's some provisions in lot coverage that talk about stormwater, meeting the stormwater design manual perviousness standards, and they'll get a 50% credit on that. I haven't seen any calculations. I don't know where they're at. They sound like they've done some level of analysis there, but staff hasn't seen that yet.
Any other parting comments? Does a designer or owner have any other questions for us in terms of direction? Yeah. What dates are available if we want to?
Or they just?
They don't have.
Oh, they'll just. Yeah, we don't need to continue anything.
Okay. On the agenda, Jeremy?
I think that's it. I think this will be the only meeting for the month of January. So February, I think there's some new business coming your way on the regularly scheduled agendas.
And that one was President's Day is our second one. Do we, and that's at this point canceled.
Right.
Until a special gets rescheduled, if at all. Okay.
Right now, I'm not thinking that we need to reschedule it, but.
Okay.
So if the next meeting would be first?
Is that the first Monday in February? It'll be the first Monday in February.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the fifth.
Fifth.
It's the fifth?
Yeah, okay. Oh, I do have a calendar. Yeah. And that looks like it will be the Wendy's site in downtown Kirkland, which is Bartell's ground floor with residential above.
So they weren't going to Petco. That's not them up there.
Bartell's?
Yeah.
Apparently not.
To fight with Walgreens, right?
But we haven't heard anything new on the Petco since your design, since your conceptual meeting.
Okay.
So.
Oh, yeah, I've been wondering about that location.
Yeah. The Petco people told me that earliest person at the counter, I asked them, say, you just remodeled the store, what's going to happen? And he said that they have a 20-year super long lease and they're not going to get bought out.
There you go. Hmm. Intelligence on the street.
The boss of Rose Hill.
Yeah. Rouse of Rose Hill. All right. Well, since there's no unfinished business, we should give this opportunity for anyone from the public to come up with any questions or comments on the Totem Lake Apartments. All right. Seeing none.
I move for adjournment.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Meeting is adjourned.